Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Friday, September 30th edition of the Alex Jones Show. I, of course, am not Alex Jones, but I'm sitting in until he gets back. But he is scheduled to join us later in the show in the second hour. We also have on today Paul Joseph Watson, who's going to talk about the latest news on Al Lockie's death and also on reporters who say gold has no intrinsic value, but the U.S. dollar does. Now, of course, terrorism news is in the top of the stack today, but there's lots of political news as well, with Ron Paul going head-to-head in polls in Florida with Obama, matching entirely Mitt Romney, and Perry way behind in the polls, and the other candidates not even really showing up. We have primary states looking to move the date forward, skipping ahead of Florida if they move the date forward. But, of course, the top news, as I said, is the report that radical U.S.-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki has been killed by a drone attack in Yemen. Of course, they haven't confirmed this, and he's been previously reported dead also by a drone attack. But it's very convenient to tie up loose ends for the man they say was connected to all sorts of plots, from the underwear bomber on down, all the FBI sting setup attacks that have been allegedly busted over the past several years, all just provocateur nonsense for the most part. We have Steve Watson's article, No More Pentagon Dinners, Al-Qaeda Leader Killed Again. According to a senior U.S. administration official, Al-Qaeda boogeyman Anwar al-Awlaki has been reported killed in an airstrike in Yemen, the exact same way he died in 2009. The Yemeni Defense Ministry confirmed the claim, and the timing, according to Time Magazine, is very strategic, as Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh has returned from 4 months of medical treatment and is otherwise under political fire in the country. Now, al-Awlaki, it came out in 2010, October, in Fox News. Al-Qaeda leader dined at the Pentagon just months before 9/11. That's right, Anwar al-Awlaki invited to the Pentagon, met with Pentagon leaders. That's all come out, and I really think it's a convenient thing that he's now dead, a way to tie up loose ends for another embarrassing, obvious Pentagon CIA asset who they wanted out of the way and out of the public's mind, somewhere on the top of the terror list, in the top three, I believe, if not number one. Wanted, most wanted terrorist, just as Osama bin Laden was conveniently done away with prior to the 9/11 anniversary, as Obama's polls continued to sink. Sinking so much are Obama's public approval numbers that some advisors say he may even bow out of the race and claim he's going to fix the economy and therefore not run again, because the Democratic Party is so weakened and Obama has very little chance of being reelected. Of course, he's not going to be able to do anything to fix the economy with the strategies they're obviously looking to further. Also, later in the show, we have Michael Moore in a clip with We Are Change, Luke Radowski film yesterday, saying we don't need to end the Fed, we need to end capitalism. That speaks for itself, I think. And plenty of news about the European debt crisis and another round of Greek bailouts. Germany on the cusp of approving that bailout, most likely. They're saying that Merkel will probably have to make some concessions, but it's not really a question of whether or not they'll actually get approval for the new emergency bailout vehicle. All that and more coming up on the show. So stay tuned. Infowars.com, Aaron Dyke sitting in, Alex on the way in this program, and back again Monday. Stay with us. Bob Chapman in the third hour and Paul Watson coming up. Infowars.com.
For
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back at InfoWars.com on this Friday, September 30th edition. If you just joined us, as we already started discussing, Al-Qaeda leader who dined at the Pentagon, just reported dead in Yemen, also sort of justifying these drone attacks going on over there in one of the many regions in the Middle East and Central Asian region where the U.S. is involved in wars or operations other than war. Anwar al-Awlaki, the top or near top Al-Qaeda asset, the CIA lackey, as Webster Tarpley would call him, reported dead, the radical U.S.-born Muslim cleric and one of the most influential Al-Qaeda operatives, one in the U.S., was killed Friday in an airstrike. And again, as we've reported many times before, in 2010, it came out that Anwar al-Awlaki dined at the Pentagon with top military brass, and he's just another asset, of course. Now, in other news, but related on the terror front, we have Kurt Nemo's article from today, FBI plot to blow up Pentagon and Capitol with model planes, remote-controlled airplanes. And this is, of course, another provocateured set-up sting action from the FBI, as almost every reported terror plot, everything they publicized in the past several years, almost this whole decade of the war on terror, has been repeatedly is proved to be a setup where the FBI agents provocateured them into action, gave them the bombs, and set them up, and then arrested them for publicity. Now we have the homegrown terror narrative took a bizarre turn this week when the government arrested an American on charges he planned to blow up the Pentagon and the U.S. Capitol with a model airplane. Rezwan Firdaus, a U.S. citizen from Ashland, Massachusetts, duped into thinking a harmless substance provided by the FBI was C4 plastic explosives. FBI agents also gave Firdaus 6 AK-47 assault rifles and 3 grenades. None of the weapons worked. But now it's a big scare in the news, of course. Firdaus bought a model airplane for $6,500, kept it secreted away in a rented storage facility in Massachusetts. Then the FBI gave their dupe money to buy the toy. He had plans to buy other military-style model aircraft and allegedly was going to target the Pentagon and White House. Now, if you believe this is real terrorism, I guess you're going to continue to buy anything. I want to go now, though, to a Geraldo clip on Fox News. You got O'Reilly trying to shut him up and talk over him, but he's talking about how all these plots have been totally bogus, just setups, that this is not real crime. Maybe these aren't good people. Maybe they do hate America, but they never had the means to carry out attacks. They were simply provocateured. Can we go to that clip now, please?
Real quick, we only have 90 seconds. Another Muslim guy arrested in Maryland by the FBI in a sting operation. Apparently, this guy wanted to blow up a military recruiting center.
Bogus. Absolutely.
All right, just
bogus.
Tell us what happened.
Who Antonio was arrested. Martinez, a 21-year-old, converts to Muslim. He's writing on his Facebook page, "I hate people who hate Islam. I hate people who don't believe in the prophet. I'm really, really pissed off at what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan." So what happens? Some informers tip off the FBI that this guy is writing this crap in his Facebook. They send in, undercover people posing as radicals, and they seduce this kid.
And you were there. You heard the seduction.
Same way they seduced the people
know them?
From Newburgh, New York. Same way they seduced the people.
But wait a minute.
Sears,
how can you say that? You
conspiracy.
Weren't there. You don't know.
They seduced him in the same way they did that young man in Oregon.
You're annoying.
But the problem is, Bill,
you don't know.
These FBI agents with not much to do use their
these
entrapment cases are fake.
Let it go
They're not
in.
Real crimes. This person took no overt act to commit a crime until he met the FBI informant who set him up. This is a gullible youngster. If we use our valuable resources...
Well, you get the idea. Now, that's an older story, of course. That was from, I believe, about a year and a half ago. That was Muhammad Hussein. We're talking today, of course, about Rezwan Firdaus, but it's the same old story, and just by coincidence, you have Anwar al-Awlaki connected to almost all of these bogus set up terror plots, everything down to the underwear bomber, and much, much more. Now, look what happened in 1993. You had the first attempted bombing at the World Trade Center, which did kill four people. And we have the audio tapes. I know Alex has played them before. I've heard those tapes where the, I don't have the name handy, I'm going from memory, but the informant started getting freaked out because the FBI was planning to give real explosives to the radical Islam people they were setting up to blow up the World Trade Center. Now, we're talking about situations where the FBI trained them, coerced them, as Geraldo says in this clip, seduced them, and then gave them real bombs and showed them even how to use them. In the case of the World Trade Center, they, of course, trained them first with non-real explosives and then later substituted real explosives for that first attempted World Trade Center bombing. And that's, unfortunately, what the FBI has been involved in when it comes to counterterrorism over the past many, many years. 1993, that's coming up on 18 years now. So just absolutely absurd. Kurt Nemo's got that report. There's lots of other reports on the latest FBI entrapment. And it's just, I don't know, what else can you say? Meanwhile, in Libya, experts are suddenly concerned about the growing militant activity. And we've also got 20,000 anti-aircraft missiles stolen in Libya only because they decided not to protect them. Well, what do you expect when you arm Al-Qaeda, when Al-Qaeda, who were allegedly fighting in the Middle East, is suddenly our ally just to take down Gaddafi? And of course they're going to come to power. Of course those radical elements are at least going to attempt to come to power. And they refer, of course, to the National Transition Council as if they're legitimate. They're filled with Al-Qaeda as well. It's the same old story. So we've got exclusive concern grows over militant activity in Libya. As the dust settles after 6 months of fighting in Libya, U.S. officials are stepping up efforts to identify Islamic militants who might pose a threat in the post-Gaddafi power vacuum. U.S. counterterrorism and intelligence agencies have recently produced classified papers examining the strength, role, and activities of militant activists and factions in post-Gaddafi Libya. More after-the-fact nonsense, because they knew all along that it was more than 1,000 Al-Qaeda members who were part of the rebel forces in Libya. That was reported in The Guardian and many other papers long ago. And as for the 20,000 anti-aircraft missiles stolen in Libya, and a survey of weapon depots in Libya shows 20,000 shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles now missing because Obama refused to send troops to guard the weapon depots. We were quite disappointed after talking to administration officials that nothing more was done. So, yeah, you can guess who those weapons are going to fall into. The major impediment to action is that the administration doesn't want boots on the ground. If these weapons get in the wrong hands, any civilian aircraft operating in the region will be threatened. So probably just another call for more boots on the ground, as we again reported in the early summer due to Army and intelligence and other military sources who called into the show and contacted Alex behind the scenes. We were able to predict that they would have boots on the ground, and there are at least some now. Libya media front, no NATO success without Al Jazeera. And then we have John McCain claims Al-Qaeda thugs have inspired the world. That's a Tony Cartolucci article at Infowars.com. Arizona senator touches down in Tripoli for celebratory stroll through ruined nation, saying as Libya's rebels under the cover of NATO verifiably exterminate entire cities, cut off others from essential supplies, including water, creating humanitarian disasters to starve cities into submission, John Cain, an avid supporter of Benghazi terror brigades, now sowing chaos through the North African nation, reported to be in Tripoli recently, praising the rebels who've inspired the world and turned cynics into supporters. Well, what do you expect? 800 additional U.S. military trainers to be sent to Afghanistan by March. Oh, that's interesting. Walter Pincus from the Washington Post, the guy who Gary Webb said was a CIA asset and tried to kill his reporting on the government shipping drugs and working with drug cartels, but that's another story altogether. Now, shifting to political news, as we mentioned before, there's a new poll that shows Ron Paul, quote, surprisingly, head-to-head with Obama in a dead heat in Florida, Paul trailing Obama only by 1 point, 45-44, in a hypothetical general election matchup, with Romney at nearly the same number, 46-45, also trailing Obama by 1 point. Perry, on the other hand, has a 7-point deficit, 40-53. Well, that just shows once again that Ron Paul is definitely top tier, and he may even be leading the race. Meanwhile, Florida has threatened to move its primary up, so four U.S. states may leapfrog Florida if it decides to move. This is in Reuters and all the other mainstream press. Four U.S. states holding contest in early 2012 choose the Republican presidential nominee threatened on Thursday to leapfrog Florida if it goes ahead with the primary election date of January 31. That is Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, who may move up as early as January 2nd, I believe, right after Christmas. So they're saying that would be interesting. And, of course, that just hurts anyone's ability to raise money who's not already promoted by the media. You know who that would be. GOP starting line inches towards New Year's Day. More about moving the primaries up. Meanwhile, Rick Perry, greeted by protesters in Charlotte, greeted, in other words, protested over his support for illegal immigrants and his allowing in-state tuition for the children of illegal immigrants. William Gein, who's been on the show before, the president for Americans for Legal Immigration, or ALEPAC, said the reason states have to, well, sorry, unquote, said Rick Perry's the only candidate that signed in state tuition for illegal immigrants, and they protested him there. And Rick Perry once again showed he is totally on board for the North American Union agenda, whatever it may be called, although he stated on camera in the little soundbite that it's a failure of the federal government and they should simply seal the border. Now, we're going to get more into that and on the other hoax candidates, Romney and Herman Cain. We also have economic news coming up. Alex, again, scheduled to join us. Paul Watson coming up just after the next segment. Bob Chapman in the third hour. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. Infowars Nightly News coming up tonight with a very special report we'll get into later. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back again at Infowars.com, the Alex Jones Show. Once again, I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in, and it's a great day for freedom because we got another terrorist. He's dead. Ding dong, the witch is dead, and now we can just choose between our pre-selected presidential puppets. Now, just before the break, we were discussing how Ron Paul, who the media repeatedly tells us can't win, is again in a dead heat with Obama in polls in Florida, and he's equal in standing with Romney while Perry continues to fall in the polls, but they're just going to keep on with the same mantra. Meanwhile, Steve Watson wrote on September 27th, "Hypocrite Romney, just as elitist as Obama, his attempt to appear as a man of the people falls flat." The corporate media declared GOP frontrunner Mitt Romney, who wrote the Massachusetts health care bill and is basically just as liberal as Obama or just as liberal as Rick Perry. You choose which liberal puppet candidate you want, or you could choose for no more big government, or at least less big government. The corporate media declared GOP frontrunner Mitt Romney has been attempting to win over voters recently by painting himself as a man of the people, arguing Obama's Ivy League education and elitism serves as a distinct disconnect. Also in the disconnect is the fact that Romney is part of the centuries-old Pratt-Romney U.S. political family dynasty. Just in case you didn't know that, it's on Wikipedia. You can look it up. His father was governor of Michigan, and his brothers run for political office. And going at least back to the 1760s, Jared Pratt of the Pratt family, later part of the Romney family, deeply involved in politics. They're all American citizens, but they were doing governorships down in different parts of Mexico. Again, you can look that up. And we discussed earlier in the week how Herman Cain is also just another establishment puppet, part of the Pillsbury financial food dynasty. He joined them after leaving the Department of Navy and after leaving the Coca-Cola company, then joining the Pillsbury Skull and Bones family to head Burger King and then later Godfather's Pizza, and then the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, where he was deputy director, then director. Herman Cain, also man of the people. Just another hoax, and we all know there's only one candidate who's going to do anything to take on the Federal Reserve, from auditing it to beginning to phase it out. But they're going to sell you on another big government liberal, of course, like Mitt Romney or whoever else they can put in there. Now, we have Paul Watson joining us on the other side of this break to get into his article on gold having no value, as the media now tells us, and more on Anwar Al-Awlaki, the CIA lackey. And if you just joined us today, the FBI plot to blow up the Pentagon and Capitol with model planes was busted by the FBI after they set up their patsy, Rezwan Firdaus, yet another patsy, just on the same day that it's reported, again, that Anwar al-Awlaki has been killed. Now, there's also lots of crony capitalism scandals going on today, most of them connected to the White House. Daryl Issa, who's heading the House Oversight Committee, said in a letter to the Ford Motor Company Thursday, he's deeply concerned about the undue political pressure exerted by the White House on whether or not they asked them to pull an ad describing how they did not take a bailout. Then there's crony socialism. Obama gives $737 million to solar firm linked to the Pelosi clan. Team Obama spending $737 million to create 45 permanent jobs. $737 million for 45 permanent jobs. The Energy Department announced Wednesday that it's finalized $737 million loan guarantee for the Nevada solar project. Decision comes several weeks after the California-based solar manufacturer received $535 million loan guarantee from the administration in 2009 and then filed for bankruptcy, laid off 1,100 workers. But they're going to spend that money to create 45 permanent jobs. So more slander news. Then the Energy Secretary, Stephen Chu, says he will take responsibility for the loan deal that put more taxpayer money at risk in Solandra, and that scandal continues to unfold. Chu said he made the final decision to allow the struggling solar company to continue receiving taxpayer money after it had technically defaulted on the $535 million federal loan guaranteed by his agency. More on that. There's allegedly going to be a criminal probe. We'll see what happens. And a former Clinton advisor, known to you as Dick Morris, who's very frequently on Fox News, says it's very possible Obama will bow out of the presidential race for now, just as LBJ did when he was dead in the polls and the Vietnam War was going on. But he's not going to fix the economy. He's going to say America's gone soft, doesn't compete anymore, while they continue to harass companies like Gibson over importing wood made in India, telling them to move their facilities overseas and further ruin our economy. We'll get into that more on the other side. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. Alex Jones up ahead. We're back again at Infowars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. Alex will join us. He's scheduled to be here in the next hour. But in just a moment, we're going to go to Paul Watson. But there's a new humanitarian prize at the UN in this Orwellian 1984 system. Tainted African ruler may get UN prize in his name. The African heads of state who converged on the capital of Equatorial Guinea this summer are used to life's finer things, yet they were impressed and they were pampered and then agreed to sign off on an award in the name of President Teodoro Obong Nguema. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I should probably show him more respect. Even though his regime is accused of gross human rights violations, his name will now be associated with an organization that would be UNESCO, whose mission is the promotion of peace and human rights through cultural dialogue. So I don't know. Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize. Maybe he can now get the humanitarian UNESCO Teodoro Nguema Award. Who knows? Let's see. But on the line with us now, we have Paul Joseph Watson, head writer for PrisonPlanet.com, and he's going to discuss the killing of al-Awlaki and the new reign of freedom. Paul Watson, are you there?
Yes, good to be here, Aaron.
So I guess we can end the war on terror now. Bin Laden's dead, and the new number one al-Qaeda operative, al-Awlaki, who dined at the Pentagon, also no longer with us, Paul.
Well, I mean, Obama's come out in the past hour and said, quote, "This is further proof that Al-Qaeda and its affiliates will have no safe haven anywhere in the world," which is an odd statement to make considering the fact that his administration has just backed this NATO assault on Libya, which has provided terrorists, the very ones who killed US troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, with this arsenal of deadly weapons that now mysteriously goes missing, so the US troops have to be dispatched and Obama has to go back on his word. But I mean, yeah, we've had the announcement of the death of the CIA lackey, Anwar al-Awlaki, and it's being celebrated by the establishment media and by the Obama administration. But there's a note of caution because, of course, in the case of al-Zarqawi in Iraq, his death had to be announced about seven consecutive times before he was actually confirmed dead. So keep that in mind when we learn that al-Awlaki was supposedly killed by the same counter-terrorism team that carried out the fabled bin Laden raid earlier this year. And I mean, the announcement was made conveniently right as Yemeni president was returning to the country after an attack on the compound that left him in hospital. So he announced it as this big propaganda victory. And even Time magazine today alludes to the interesting and convenient timing of the announcement of this death. But as you just mentioned, Aaron, we've documented over the course of several years the fact that this individual has been the prime double agent when it comes to grooming terror plot patsies in the United States. He's been involved in just about every setup from the underwear bomber hoax to the Fort Hood shooting, as well as Fort Dix and, of course, the Toronto 18 case, which were both proven to be completely FBI. And in the case of Toronto, are, you know, Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Well, yeah, even if they have total intent for deadly force, they don't have any means of carrying it out until the FBI gives them the boom booms.
Well, precisely. I mean, that, there's another case of that today, which we can talk about in a minute. As he said, though, you know, Awlaki's declared the spiritual leader of the 9/11 hijackers in the aftermath of the attacks, yet he's invited to dine at the Pentagon just months after those attacks. We know that Abel Danger had followed the hijackers before 9/11, knew their accomplices, they would have picked up Awlaki. Yeah, he was still invited to dine with top brass at the Pentagon. And not only that, he was interviewed four times after 9/11 by the FBI itself. And yet he still gets the invite to the dinner. You have the videos put out, which he routinely featured in, by the Intel Center, which, have we, as we've documented, is a military-industrial complex front. So it's, again, it's a reminder that these terrorists are almost invariably, you know, double agents or provocateur patsies.
Yeah, it's incredible. And yeah, guess who's coming to dinner? Anwar al-Awlaki, the patsy. And of course, as you mentioned, they completely ignored Abel Danger, didn't get their intelligence, even though they called, I believe, several dozen times, warning that many of the hijackers were going to be doing things inside the U.S., that they were already there, that they were let in. And as we know, the Visa Department let them in through the borders and all the rest of it, Paul. I mean, it's so far beyond incompetence, it's not even funny.
Well, precisely, and why do they do it? As you just alluded to, this Homeland Security state and the billions of dollars and the lobbyists that go with it, you know, it's big business, and that's why they need to create a plentiful supply of terrorists to justify it, which is why we have cases like the one again today, where the FBI entraps these individuals, often mentally deranged, mentally deficient patsies, and then busts them after they've provided them with the money and the weapons and loudly proclaims that they busted a deadly Al-Qaeda plot. Case in point again today, with the article on Infowars.com by Kurt Nimmo, Rezwan Firdaus, U.S. citizen charged with plot to blow up Pentagon and U.S. Capitol with this model airplane. He's going to blow up the Pentagon when a supposedly a jumbo jet failed to barely make a hole in it on 9/11. So, again, turns out, surprise, surprise, the FBI actually cooked up the entire plot, provided him with a fake plastic explosive, fake AK-47s, phony grenades, gave him the money to buy this stupid model airplane, which is supposedly, you know, going to bring down the center of the military-industrial complex, the Pentagon. And then you have the quote out of CNN, quote, the person was never really a threat, a nameless law enforcement official told CNN. There is no information to indicate he was connected to a foreign terrorist organization. It appears he was radicalized watching videos on the internet. He was given the opportunity to back down, but he never wavered from his intention. Thanks to FBI encouragement to carry out the attacks, the unidentified source said. So again, it's this myth that justifies the whole bloated Homeland Security budget and this predatory police state, which is now being targeted against the American people. They need this plentiful supply of terrorists to justify the whole boondoggle.
Yeah, I guess they're going to have to run model airplane clubs out of the country too, just like Gibson guitars, Paul.
Well, I mean, it's now a tool of terrorists, even though the FBI directly provided it to him, so I guess that's the case.
Maybe that's what originally hit the Pentagon. Who knows? But as I mentioned earlier, the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, the FBI admittedly also set that up, cooked the bomb and gave it to him, and provocateur them, quote, seduced them into it as well, Paul.
Well, precisely because there's not enough terrorists to justify things like see something, say something, and turning Americans against each other. And the figures, which is why I routinely include this in the articles I write about it, figures tell the true story, because there have been university studies which prove, you know, drowning in bathtubs, lightning strikes, accident-causing deer, peanut allergies, all these things kill more Americans than terrorists. That's why the multi-billion dollar industry of fear needs to manufacture these enemies to prolong the scam. And they even admit to that in their own industry journals. National Defense, in their recent publication, said this, quote, polls still show that there is increasing public concern about another terrorist attack. It is this fear and an unrealistic American perception of risk that will continue to propel some aspects of the market. So again, unrealistic perception of risk. They know it's a scam, but that's where the money is. So that's where they're going to get the DHS contracts to litter the towns with surveillance cameras, even though it's all manufactured. They're going to go ahead and do it anyway, because that's the job of the corporate media, is to create this unrealistic perception of threat, which they're very adept at doing.
Yeah, well, just last night I was reading an article off the Drudge Report about a journalist association who was reminding their journalists that terrorism is really has produced very few deaths, and that's only if you include the 9/11 deaths, which we know otherwise about. And yet they were scolded to not downplay the risk of terrorism, not point out that it's statistically very unlikely, and that infectious diseases, communicable diseases, are responsible for 10 times, maybe 100 times the death poll.
Well, precisely. But the truth, there's no money in the truth. There's money in creating this industry of fear, which is precisely what they do. And that's why you've got the grope downs at NFL. That's why you've got Big Sis in Walmart, because that's where all the cash is, and that's what they get out of creating this fear, and they need to prolong it with these fables and these myths, these terrorists being killed, you know, Bin Laden raid, but they can't show us any pictures. And today, you know, handing this mentally deranged patsy a model airplane, fake explosives, and telling him to go have fun. It's all completely manufactured.
Now, Paul, you wrote another article today about the dumb reporter who really is our new financial expert. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, it's not Miss Teen USA, but it certainly sounds like it. It's not the latest member of Obama's economic advisory team, but we'll go ahead and play the clip now. This is out of CTV Calgary.
Joins us now, Bridget. Overall, how did today compare to yesterday?
The biggest surprise of today was definitely gold. It was down about $100 an ounce. That represents the biggest two-day drop in 28 years. There's a couple of things going on today. Some investors were selling off their gold holdings to try to make up for losses in other areas. But Todd Hirsch says there's something else happening here, too. Some investors aren't confident that with what gold is backed by, or if it's backed by anything at all, as compared to something like the U.S. dollar. Investors are comfortable that the U.S. dollar is backed by the American government. So no matter what is happening to the American economy, something like the U.S. dollar is backed by the Federal Reserve. That's going to be around a year from now. That's a much more comfortable investment for them. Tara, right.
Thanks, Bridget.
That's priceless, Paul, but I don't think it's fair to call her a dumb reporter. She's obviously studied Ben Bernanke's statements very closely. I mean, he said gold is not money. He said the Federal Reserve makes money, and whatever they make will be your money.
Well, yeah, she could get a good job on CNBC with that kind of talk. But again, it's not, you're not watching the Daily Show there. This is an actual television news reporter telling her audience that gold, you know, this intrinsic commodity that's got 5,000 years.
Intrinsic, Paul. Intrinsic value. It has other uses besides just money. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
And 5,000 years worth of human history will kind of indicate that. And it will also tell you that the US dollar has virtually no backing whatsoever, like the thousands of other fiat currencies that have failed and collapsed throughout history, which, like the dollar, were backed by the faith of their own government. And of course, that all turned out to be completely worthless. So, I make the point, is it really any wonder that a majority of Americans, now the highest number ever, according to a Gallup poll this week, now completely distrust the establishment media? It's no surprise when this is what they come out with. But it's also interesting that the type of Americans who do still trust the mainstream media to some extent are those in the lower income brackets, which makes sense if they, you know, hung on to all their dollars 10 years ago. Since then, the dollar's lost 30% of its purchasing power. Gold has more than quadrupled, so that would make sense if you're listening to this kind of advice.
Yeah, well, look at the graph since 1972. The dollar's gone straight down, and the gold chart has gone straight up. They're reporting on a $100 drop in gold, a temporary spike to the bottom, when it's going straight up in the trend.
Well, precisely. I mean, whenever gold has a little dip, the mainstream media goes completely ape about it. And yet when the stock market does the same, they try and cover it up. But it's not just CTV. I mean, this is out of Canada, but we've written articles where, you know, Erin Burnett is having an argument with Peter Schiff on CNBC, and she said that, quote, gold has no intrinsic value. It's got 5,000 years of intrinsic value. I mean, intrinsic value is denoted by, you know, rarity, finite resources, and the difficulty in mining it in the first place. The world isn't producing any more gold. What's here is here. That's it. Whereas you can just press a button on a printing machine and get as many US dollars as you want. But I mean, it's an insult to our intelligence. This is why the dumbing down of not just television news, but also, you know, media and entertainment in general, is really starting to harm people, because it's encouraging them to make absolutely stupid, ridiculous decisions about their own life. And this applies not only financially, but also in the health arena, which we've covered a lot recently. And eventually it's going to hurt them. So it's no surprise that the mainstream media is losing trust. They're losing all their viewers. And if this isn't an advertisement for InfoWars Nightly News, then I don't know what is. You should use it in a promo.
But then on the other side of the coin, we've got all these protests going on all on Wall Street, eyeing the real enemy going on there. But then you have figures like Michael Moore saying, don't end the Federal Reserve in capitalism. So I guess all these government jobs created hundreds of thousands, if not millions, for just a few jobs, or even negative jobs in the case of Solyndra. That's what Michael Moore wants, while he wants to keep the printing press on. Have you seen that clip?
Yeah, I've just seen it on Infowars.com. And I mean, you have people protesting in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, you know, when they're commandeering fighter tanks and fighter jets, and they're calling them protesters, and it's a big deal. It's the Arab Spring. It's the biggest event in a decade. And yet you have the same number of people, not only in Wall Street, but also Boston, you know, Chicago, other areas in America. And there's barely a peep about it. You have to read alternative media to even basically know it's going on. So, I mean, that just shows you how desperate. And of course, the majority of the people down there are left-wing and socialist tendencies, but, you know, at least they're finally starting to identify the real enemy, which is the bankers and the Wall Street people, and not completely deflecting it off onto this fake left-right paradigm thing. So, but Michael Moore has again proven he completely misunderstands everything about the problem. He understands nothing about how the Federal Reserve creates the problems and then poses as the savior afterwards, and it's par for the course with him.
Well, he's a creature, but he's misdirecting people into thinking that you're going to end the government corruption by empowering a bigger government to regulate itself when they're just bought out interest for Wall Street. I mean, the government is just a medium for a power shift, just like in the older days, the things Machiavelli wrote about. And we've got Wall Street now just completely ruling us, the 1% over the 99%. And shutting down the Federal Reserve is the single biggest move you can make to take back their power, Paul. But then again, gold has no value.
No, gold has no value. It's backed by absolutely nothing. But the U.S. dollar is backed by the U.S. government, even though they borrow it from the Federal Reserve, which is not part of the U.S. government. But, you know, American Idol's on. Just shut up and go to sleep.
That's right. American Idol coming up next. Actually, we're going to have more with Paul Watson. And then in the next hour, Alex scheduled to join us. We're going to find out exactly what time that'll be. Stay tuned. Infowars.com. Infowars Nightly News coming up tonight.
This is the end. Beautiful friend. This is the end.
This is the end for Anwar al-Awlaki and other CIA lackey down the drain. Now they're going to have to rebrand the War on Terror, probably shifting it once again to domestic citizens. They just had another Homeland Security drill in D.C. this week using a sports stadium as a mass shelter facility. Last week, myself and Darren McBreen traveled to Denver for the InfoWars Nightly News to cover the massive Homeland Security terror drill going on there, where they staged a school shooting, a mall shooting, and other terror incidences, then using the massive sports stadium as the relocation center. So that's what FEMA and Homeland Security have planned for us as the war on terror shifts into the war on Americans. Another side of that same war is under the flag of globalization. It's not only the Federal Reserve that we're up against, it's rules for a new world order. This article out of Europe, China Daily, Rules for a New World Order, discusses how the U.S.-led hegemonic bloc after World War II has now shifted into the era where China, India, Brazil, South Africa, and other countries, even Mexico has been on this list, are among the rising powers in the coming times, and America just continues to go down. But according to Obama, who's going to fix everything for us, America has gone soft. He said in an NBC interview that there's a lot of things we can do. The way I think about it is this is a great country that's gotten a little soft. We didn't have that same competitive edge we needed over the last couple decades. Competitive edge, they have used the powers of government nationally and internationally to guarantee that jobs are shipped overseas. America's job czar is Jeff Immelt, still the sitting CEO of GE, who just moved thousands of jobs over to China. So how are people supposed to compete with that when the government is interfering with competition? You've heard all about the Gibson guitar raid and how they're not allowed to produce their guitars with a rare ebony hardwood because it comes out of India, but it's not classified as a finished product, and that violates Indian law, and therefore, under the revised Lacey Act, it somehow violates the U.S. law. So, Paul Joseph Watson, still with us on the line. Again, Alex Jones coming up. Paul, have Americans gone soft, or are they just not allowed to compete and have real jobs under globalization?
Well, they're not allowed. I mean, that statement means nothing. It's completely glib. The Obama administration has conducted a direct assault on the American economy. They've shut down coal plants, which, you know, China are building at a rapid pace. You know, what is it in Texas? I read recently 80% of the jobs went to immigrants, 80% over the last 5 years, half of which are illegal immigrants. I mean, is that going soft or is that a result of deliberate government policy? One, in shutting down the economy and whatever cheap jobs are left, giving them to immigrants, half of which are illegal. I mean, what's that got to do with going soft?
Then meanwhile, in Europe, you've got the banker-created debt being saddled on places like Greece, but they're told they can't drop wages and other conditions under austerity quick enough. So there's going to have to be now an unlimited bailout. They say even the $400 or $500 billion isn't going to be enough, and even a few trillion wouldn't be enough. They want a, quote, unlimited bazooka they can use to blast to prop up any country that's beginning to fail. What's your take on the Greece and Eurozone? Well, we're going to get to that on the other side, Paul. Stay with us. One more segment, then we have Alex Jones coming up in the next hour. Stay tuned. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. Tonight, the InfoWars Nightly News will have some very special reports. We'll get to that, too. InfoWars.com. Please stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back in the second hour on this Friday, September 30th, 2011 edition. I'm not Alex. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. But as usual, Alex is never far away. He's going to join us from the road by phone coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, we're finishing up with Paul Watson. But first, I just want to mention tonight's episode of the InfoWars Nightly News, which is for PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers exclusively, is going to be a very special edition. Not only are we going to cover all the updates on terrorism, Anwar al-Awlaki, of course, reported dead today and another Fed provocateur busted terrorism plot, but we're going to have a fluoride special. We have a man on the street, another fluoride package, and some guests joining us to really show how the tide is turning, how they've had to admit how dangerous it is for infants and other living creatures. And we're really going to win that victory, and we're going to highlight that tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News. So join us then if you can. Now, going back to Paul Watson, we were just discussing how under globalization, under the IMF vision, America's really not allowed to compete, even though Obama says it's just that Americans have gone soft. Places like Gibson aren't allowed to manufacture guitars in the U.S., and they've been told to move overseas because of the Lacey Act, which was dates back to 1900, but it was just reworked in 2008 just to benefit, really, companies operating under globalization. Meanwhile, in Europe, you've got the whole Europe zone under threat because they're going to bail out Greece again, telling them they can't implement austerity measures quick enough to repay the banker-created debt. Now, Paul Watson, help us break down what's really going on here.
Well, basically in Europe, the European Union is petrified that Greece will default, return to the drachma, and that will create a domino effect where other countries do the same. And it will kill their pet project, the single currency euro. So now they're saying, if you don't agree to these measures, if you don't sign over to the IMF, and if you don't completely extinguish whatever sovereignty you've got left and hand it over to this European economic government, which, by the way, was a brainchild of the Nazis at the end of World War II, the exact same thing. If that all doesn't happen, then the euro will eventually collapse. And, for example, you had big CFR guy called Ken Rogoff, who wrote an article in the Financial Times recently pointing out that if the euro goes, then the big kahuna, the global currency, which is what they eventually plan, that completely evaporates, because the whole idea of a single currency having strength with, you know, numerous members completely goes out the window. It's only as strong as its weakest member, which is Greece. And he said, quote, the euro experiment has brought us to a crossroads in the whole international monetary system. Will our grandchildren inherit a world with a huge number of national currencies or a very small number of multi-country currencies? So he's talking about the euro, the Amero, and these regional blocks of currencies, which is what the globalists want. So that's why they're so desperate to throw all this money at Greece, which is being paid for by the European taxpayers, because if they don't get it through, then the euro is going to collapse inevitably, the eurozone is going to break up, and the whole grand idea, which was started by Nazis at the end of World War II, of this United States of Europe, is going to fall flat on its face, and they know that.
Now, as you know, in the background of all that, the two of us went to Bilderberg in Switzerland this year. Prior to that, they met in Spain, and prior to that, they met in Greece. Everywhere they go, countries either begin to collapse or they lose more of their sovereignty. Swiss had an extremely strong currency. Now it's begun to weaken. Paul Watson, final comments, and then we're going to go to break.
Well, yeah, they don't like any country that's got any shred of sovereignty or independence left. They're predators, and they want to kill freedom any way they can and get the power.
They admitted they were going to pop the housing bubble in 2006. Then the U.S. financial collapse began. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Alex coming up imminently. Stay tuned, InfoWars.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back at InfoWars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in, but we're going right now to Alex Jones, who joins us via Skype from somewhere on the road. Now, Alex, this is really a great day for freedom. We're winning the war on terror. We've killed another top Al-Qaeda operative, the CIA lackey Al-Laki, and the Fed provocateured terrorism plot has been broken up by the feds again, and Americans are learning to cower and go to sports stadiums to let the government take care of them as well as in the Superdome. What do you think about all that, Alex?
Well, Aaron, I'm just very thankful, and I'm really serious when I say this, that the feds are only staging fake plots that they set up themselves and then foil themselves instead of actually bombing the Oklahoma City building like the ATF did and was caught red-handed doing it. We've, of course, covered that ad nauseum and in films like Road to Tyranny. And, of course, it came out in 1993 that on CBS News and on ABC News and New York Times that their own FBI informant had been hired to cook the bomb, train the drivers, give them the detonator to bomb the World Trade Center the first time. And he knew that they were setting him up, so he recorded the FBI telling him to go ahead with that attack. And, of course, we have some of that audio that he recorded with the FBI there in the film that Jason Burmes directed and that we produced, Invisible Empire. But, yes, here it is. We have the article up at InfoWars.com. It says, no more Pentagon dinners. Al-Qaeda leader killed again. And depending on how many times you counted, he's been killed five or six times. And they never go back and retract the last time they've killed him. You think this is shoddy Pentagon propaganda, but actually it's very sophisticated to train the mainstream corporate whore media that if they say the ocean is red when it's clearly blue, that they go along with that. Or if they say that black is white, to say, okay, you know, I guess down in my basement with the lights turned off, it's actually bright and lots of light, even though it's clearly not. That's what O'Brien basically says to Winston in 1984 when he's torturing him. He says, Winston, we can have our scientists come up with equations showing there is no gravity, or that the earth is flat, or that the sun is only a mile away. And Winston said, no, you can't do that. He said, no, we will do that. This is about trampling and being trampled on. And so they come out on purpose and just literally basically soil the pool to where it's so murky no one can even tell what's going on, where they claim that they killed different Al-Qaeda operatives. One guy, Steve Watson, wrote about this over the last few years. They killed more than 14 times, but now they've killed him once, twice, three, four, five, six, seven, depending on what you look at it, four, five, six different times, and they never retract Amir al-Awlaki's death the next time they kill him. Oh, we were wrong the first four, five, six times, but this time we're right. No, it's the same thing with Saddam's sons. They killed them two or three times. And then they had the London Telegraph and others show images of their dead bodies that were all pockmarked with shrapnel wounds and then said, actually, those were wax creations. And then said, we killed him again, and then we killed him again, and then we killed him again. They said they killed Chemical Ali three times, and then finally said they killed him a fourth time. We don't know if any of this is true. the head of Libyan al-Qaeda forces, who admits he's al-Qaeda, spent, 4 years in Guantanamo Bay, that actually has a hotel area for people they sheep dip just to claim they're al-Qaeda for Muslim extremist cred on the street. Then they have an actual CIA torture center that is there at the base, where they actually do torture people, and they kind of have a public torture area that they show the media and things. Oh, we only do some light torture to basically train everybody to accept anything. And so, yes, they've killed him over and over and over. Amr al-Awlaki, and of course, they have to go ahead and kill him, at least for 6 months or so, because Chuck Norris, and I keep going back to this, when Chuck Norris, who's an icon of pro-war kind of neocon stuff, he means well when he comes out and quotes in the first paragraph in hundreds of newspapers in a syndicated column, Alex Jones at Infowars.com, and our point of challenging conservatives live in the real world. You know, Anwar al-Awlaki's hanging out secretly at the Pentagon. He's reportedly been killed over and over again. Adam Gadon is uploading videos in the Pentagon video layer when they use their front groups to release it. Four of the five al-Qaeda leaders that they say are battling for power over al-Qaeda worldwide right now, four of the five, all born in the U.S., grandsons of the head of the ADL, other operatives trained at U.S. bases, on and on and on and on. And they think the American people are so dumb that they just want to set this precedent of killing him over and over again and never retracting it to just break everyone's will and train the Associated Press, Reuters, everyone. Because, see, once they get you to buy into the lie, once the mainstream corporate whore media has defended a fraud, they've got to continue to defend it. And so they go, okay, the sky is red at high noon because we said so. Okay, cyanide is good for you. And the media, okay, cyanide's good for us. Because they have to do this. They have to go along with carbon dioxide as a deadly nerve gas when everybody knows who's got a brain it isn't. They have to say that dihydrogen monoxide is evil and toxic when it's water. They've got to then accept anything they're told, because if they don't, then the whole lie falls. And they've got the general public and people that think they're part of the establishment invested in this false reality, Aaron.
Well, I know, too, they didn't like that it was being reported on that al-Awlaki was dining at the Pentagon. Just as in Libya, we know it came out of Bilderberg and other globalist sources. They didn't like people talking about al-Qaeda being part of the NATO allied forces, Alex. And now they're spinning that, just as you predicted, to be a new incident for reasons to have boots on the ground in Libya, as that most likely will spin out into a civil war.
Well, Aaron, this happened a lot faster than I thought it would. Yes. By the way, we did that contest that everybody is aware of.
The prediction contest.
Yeah, the prediction contest. And Kurt kind of put the contest out there and said winners would be announced in the future. We need to go make sure that somebody in the office is checking the contest at Infowars.com or whatever that email address is, because remember one time we only had hundreds of entries and we wondered why we didn't have, you know, 1,000 like we normally do. And we learned that the spam filter was blocking most of it. That was the naked body scanner protest, and the word naked was blocking our spam filter in our email. And again, we've been launching the new TV show. We've been launching all this new stuff. So I kind of spontaneously announced this contest 3 weeks ago and had them kind of put up the general rules that you take our predictions and then show how they've come true, just to illustrate to kind of the sheeple that we know what we're talking about here. But I think we should go ahead and just announce that, say, October 10th, okay, you can go tell Kurt during the break, October 10th, whatever day that is, will be the day that you've got to have all your final videos in, and then we'll announce the winner 1 week later, the first show 1 week later. So October 10th, that's the date for that. And the reason I say this is we have a limited staff and limited crew, and we'll air lots of the prediction videos on the nightly news and here on the radio. And so you win. But it's $3,000 for first place, $1,500 for second, and $500 for third. And a great entry, you know, an example would be going back 6 months ago when this all started, when we pointed out that it was al-Qaeda on the ground and they were murdering blacks in the East. And then we predicted, going back about 4 months ago when the illegal bombardment started, or I guess 5 months ago now, we predicted that they would put al-Qaeda in power and then set up a drone base at the big air bases there and start bombing the nearby countries, claiming they were fighting al-Qaeda, and launch an AFRICOM invasion of the continent. Wasn't hard to predict that. And that they would then call for a permanent military force there to stop al-Qaeda while actually leaving real al-Qaeda in, but just say we're here to fight al-Qaeda. And again, you just have to come out with the most outrageous, ridiculous, cynical hatred of the American people, just treating them like a crack whore prostitute that the pimp is knocking her teeth out, putting cigarettes out on her, because that's what they do to us. They take the military's pension fund. Military begs for more. They put deadly nerve-killing poison in the water, and brain damage accelerates. IQs drop with the sodium fluoride. The public says, murder me, I love it. They inject the children, mass death everywhere, and the public just begs for more. So the globalists are just, you want more, and just punching you right in the face. There's nothing you won't take. America's ours. And the public just dances around loving football and just loves it. Actually, that's one group of people. We're the people that see what's happening and are upset and aren't going to put up with it. Aaron, I know I'm ranting here, but just the outrageousness of it, that they want some pot-bellied goon to grab my genitals to the point of I can't fly around the country now because I can't handle it in the name of fighting al-Qaeda, when al-Qaeda is constantly at the Pentagon just drinking champagne, and al-Qaeda and the bin Ladens are flown out of the country when all of their air traffic is shut down in the 3 days after 9/11, and George W. Bush in the morning of 9/11 is at the meeting with the bin Ladens, London Telegraph, Associated Press, London Guardian, all reported they're at the Carlyle Group at the bin Laden table. Just a celebration of Saudi Arabian, U.S., Israel, global domination with England, with all the staged terror. It is absolutely transparent and ridiculous.
God, I wish you were wrong. And then we've got Leon Panetta just in the last few days fear-mongering that any cuts to the military is going to leave it hollow. But it's the same old military-industrial complex script of what Anthony Sutton always called the best enemy money could buy. And we know
that's the same thing. Exactly. That's the same thing, Aaron, that just 2 weeks ago Rumsfeld said. He said, any cuts, al-Qaeda hits. That's like Cheney on Meet the Press 6-7 years ago. He said, if you investigate 9/11 and have an independent investigation, a nuke will go off. And it was just point-blank threat to everybody. See, their messages are all to other elites, people that are informed. It's a threat. Yeah, we're terrorists. You know, kind of like when Hart writes letters saying we'll stage terror attacks to Iran. But then it's also just for the general public to scare them. Sorry, Aaron, go ahead. I know you're going to break.
Yeah, well, we're coming up to break right now. On the other side, maybe we should say what this new al-Qaeda thing in Libya is going to mean for the potential of World War III or wherever else you're going to take us. On the other side, with Alex Jones, I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in. Stay tuned. InfoWars Nightly News, InfoWars.com. We are back at InfoWars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in, but we have Alex on the line with us right now. Just real quick, I want to hit a few headlines on the Drudge Report. Ron Paul calls the al-Awlaki killing by drone an assassination. Also at the top, Obama 44%, Christie 43%. I'm not sure if this report gets into how Obama's polling equal with Ron Paul as well as Mitt Romney in Florida. So they're really all equal with Obama, but the media still promotes the hoax that Ron Paul can't win. Now, getting back into the terrorism, Alex, I'm not sure if you've seen this film, The Power of Nightmares, Adam Curtis from the BBC.
That came out like 8 years ago.
Yeah, they really get into how the same Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, Cheney clan for years and years overestimated the power of the Soviets, who we built up and armed. And then at a certain point in the early 70s, maybe even the late 60s, they started promoting up the radical Islam and building that up as a future threat as well, again calling for more military budget.
Exactly. That's now been declassified, and we had more articles on it at InfoWars.com yesterday, breaking down the fact that, yeah, communism and the Soviets were terrible, but the threat was exaggerated about 10 to 1 on purpose. And the whole duck and cover thing was about creating general fear in the public, teaching kids, you know, jump under your table, the nukes are coming. They used continuity of government, as you know, going back into the 50s. We have those CBS newsreels to basically start federalizing local communities. In fact, that's a report we should do on InfoWars Nightly News next week, Aaron. I was thinking about that last night, is a COG continuity of government report breaking all of that down, showing how long this has been going on and how it's now starting to come to a head. But you had brought up the whole point about manufacturing a new threat, the Islamist threat. A lot of times the real Muslim terrorists in the Middle East blowing stuff up don't even know that they're being financed by Saudi Arabia, by the U.S., by England, or by Israel. But it's come out in the Israeli newspapers. Just type in, Israel created Hamas, Israel staged fake terror. This is not Alex Jones saying this. This is Jerusalem Post, Haaretz, UPI. We put that in our films. All these governments do it. WikiLeaks, 4 years ago, released a Pentagon training manual for special ops captains in the Army and above on how to stage a false flag. And they say, if you're overwhelmed in a situation in an indigenous area, just stage a massacre, and here's how you blame it on your enemies. This is all force multiplication. And this is very evil doctrines. This is stuff George Washington wouldn't put up with. But by Vietnam, our government got the military, at least specialized groups that they would test and train to do this, to do it. And through compartmentalization, they can find people through different processes, different tests, different missions they send them on gradually, who will do anything and believe they're doing it patriotically. A lot of these people who run false flags and things, you know, classic special ops false flag will be, if you're overwhelmed and you need to motivate a village or a group of villages to join you because you believe, you know, you've got to defeat the communist threat or whatever, and you know the communists are going to end up, you know, killing more of them if you don't. Grab a few little kids down at the creek, knock them over the head, slit their throats, hang them, and then, you know, leave a note that the enemy did it. And then the argument is, you know, they teach these special ops guys, well, you've got to do this. This has been declassified. You've got to do this or we'll just lose the whole war and then many more will be killed. And, you know, that's like Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote, he's written two books. You can pull up the quotes if folks want to. Just type in Zbigniew Brzezinski praises Pol Pot. And he says, we funded him to be a counterbalance to the communist, and he did a great job. And Brzezinski goes on to say he's proud of what he did, and he'd do it again. Pol Pot killed roughly 30% of the Cambodian population. And again, you don't become the communist to beat the communist. You don't become the Nazis to beat the Nazis. That's how evil seduces people. And you notice now, we adopted all of this, and now we've become as bad or worse. And it was all just evil people manipulating that end justifies the means. That's what they do with Delta Force. Limbaugh first talked about this, I don't know, 15 years ago I heard him. And since then, they've changed the test because he did talk about it. A lot of Limbaugh listeners heard him talk about it. And then since then, it's been admitted that upon Delta Force, you've done all the physical stuff, all the rigors. You know, you come from Navy SEALs or Green Berets or Marine Force Recon, you know, any of those super elite groups. The final test is they have you over an evening read Machiavelli's The Prince and then write a paper on it. And when Limbaugh gave up the way to win it and become Delta Force member, it lost its ability. But it was in justifies the means. If you, when we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story about that situation, about in justifies the means, the test they give the Delta Force. And we'll see some other news Aaron's got. And I've got some news I'm going to cover as well. And then Bob Chapman's coming up with Aaron Dykes straight ahead after that.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfect.
We are back again at InfoWars.com here in the long segment of the second hour. I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in for Alex, but he's on with us on the line from wherever he is on the road. Alex, the thing I would bring up now is, what about the whole tinderbox effect of the whole Middle East being in flames? This whole Arab Spring thing obviously didn't happen by accident, even though they claim a supercomputer could have predicted it but didn't predict it in time. They knew what they were doing. We know who was behind this. And now more and more in hindsight, it looks like the Libya part of the NATO offensive and, the Al-Qaeda part of the NATO offensive in Libya was probably the main act, with the ousting of Gaddafi just being a precursor to more and more turmoil for the military-industrial complex in the Middle East, Alex. What is your take?
Well, that's right, Aaron. This is a new strategy, and really it's the strategy very similar to the strategy that the Soviets used over and over and over again, where they would use proxy armies in third world and old world countries to try to overthrow either governments that weren't Western-backed and were just independent, or Western-backed governments. And basically, that's what's been going on. That's what's been happening. And so now there's this new globalist model, and that's all part of this Arab Spring to give Obama the peace prize. So you've got to be for all his wars, because after all, they wouldn't give a peace prize to somebody if he wasn't for great freedom. And it's all about basically knocking out all the old Western-backed dictators. It's also about knocking out old enemies like Gaddafi and putting your Arabic proxy CIA armies in control, and creating a type of order out of chaos, a whole new destabilization, and having such disdain for the general public that on top of all of that, you then, after you put Al-Qaeda in or put the Muslim Brotherhood in, then use that destabilization as a pretext to then have Israel be able to attack countries that are around it, because those countries have now put people in power who want to attack Israel. So this is just more of this model of where our government and the Soviets wanted the Cold War to keep happening. Or it's just like Iran. They talked just last week, one of the top people in the Pentagon and one of the top admirals had called, I talked to him just a few days ago, to one of our guests about this subject, Wayne Madsen, that part of the Pentagon wanted to put a hotline between Tehran and Washington. And so suddenly the Iranians come out and they say, well, we're going to put ships off your coast. Their hardliners don't want detente, don't want everybody to get along either. That's why, going back, what, 5-6 years ago, they had a mainline guy who wasn't even going to build nuclear reactors and had UN inspectors all over their country in Iran. And the Iranians didn't want that either, and our government didn't want that either, and had a hardline stance against Iran when they tried to be our friends, because it's military-industrial complexes that sit on top of all of these countries and need to continue to play we, the people, off against each other, because the leaders do not want peace, do not want commerce. They want a national security crisis state, a COG, continuity of government, emergency state, to be in control, whether it's Iran or Saudi Arabia or Israel or England or Venezuela or the United States or Canada or Germany. All of these people running governments are the very same type who were doing the very same thing in the days of Julius Caesar. They need an outside threat. Why was England and France always, for over 1,000 years, every decade or so, having a huge knockdown, drag out war? I mean, because this is what.
So the cousin princes can make money together.
Well, exactly. And when there's uprisings and when people want more freedom, well, you just have a war, and they tend to then get rallied around the flag, rallied around the king, and not get so uppity. And then the king can also have inside deals with certain merchants and weapons suppliers and bankers and people, and consolidate wealth and power, because people will pretty much starve to death if it's in a war. Now, the UN has come out and said they're going to use the Arab Spring. It's all admitted they overthrew. And it's also true that computers did predict it. They saw, with the commodities prices going up, with the global reserve currency being devalued in the last year, there were all sorts of reports saying it's going. I mean, 3 years ago, the UN was saying within 3 years that there would be massive riots all over the world over food prices going up. Because, sure, food goes up here 20, 30, 40%. It's tough on the average person. But if you're in the Middle East making $2 a day or less on average, and around half of your money is spent on food, we're talking about watching your kids get skinny. We're talking about now your kids die when they get a cold instead of just getting sick because they were already malnourished. We're talking about 25 million people a year, 15 million of them being children, starving to death conservatively. And now in the last year and a half, we've seen those numbers go above 30 million, an additional 5 million people starving to death worldwide because the world is based on the dollar, which is being devalued, including the petrol dollars. So they knew there was going to be these riots. They saw the dominoes. They saw the wind coming that was going to knock the dominoes over. So they injected their people on record a month before the fall of places like Egypt. And they knew there was going to be a rebellion against Gaddafi. So they just simply injected their people because they saw which way the wind was blowing. They're opportunistic. To quote Julius Caesar, there is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. They understand how to step in and co-opt things right at the key moment. And they wrote about this. It's undisputed. But what came out last week? The New York Times pretty much said it was okay. A World Bank group trading in carbon credits went into multiple African countries. There's a bunch of these different companies doing it. And actually burned down whole neighborhoods, farming areas, lined people up and shoot them. And they said, well, this is for the earth. And this is the genocide. And so what did the UN say in The Guardian? What did the UN announce a month before this happened? They said, we're going to have green helmets that are going to invade your country to enforce carbon credits. And we're going to have green helmets that are enforced to, under UNODIR, the United Nations Small Arms Treaty system. Whether you like it or not, if a majority of UN countries vote, the Security Council will then back that. They only back the democratization of world government when it's authorized. It's like the Super Congress. Well, Congress can pass our legislation up or down, but if you don't pass it, we go to our default. This is all part of this dictatorship being set up. Europe's going under a super group of bureaucrats that are unelected and controlled by the IMF and World Bank, who will make decisions, and there's no national sovereignty, and that's publicly admitted. And they say on Bloomberg and CNBC, this is good. This will protect your bank account. This will protect your sovereign wealth funds. This will protect your pension funds. Of course, it doesn't. It's the bankers maneuvered more into place to be able to get away with bloody murder and then sell it as sexy as global austerity. So you're going to have the Green Army invasions, and they're going to use economic turmoil to implode countries. Then when there's riots, Ivory Coast, you name it, Uganda, you name it, in comes the invasion force. And they admittedly come in and slaughter thousands, in the case of Ivory Coast, with UN-backed forces. And that's loving and good. I mean, this is unspeakable evil wrapped and packaged in humanitarian-sounding names. This makes Napoleon, Hitler, Stalin, and other expansionists look tame in how they tried to cover up their expansionist aims. This is global corporations using England, Israel, the European Union, the United States, and others to fund and finance this. If you're an Israeli, you don't really gain from this on average. If you're a Briton or in the UK, you don't stand to gain from this. If you're in Ireland or Scotland, if you're in the United States, you don't gain from this. You pay for the banker bailouts. You pay for the $2 trillion defense budgets. It's over $1.1 trillion with supplemental right at $2 trillion. You pay for all of it and don't even get part of it. As an Englishman, 400 years ago, 300 years ago, you actually stood to gain from the British Empire. If you would go rob, steal, kill, invade, you actually stood to gain, okay, in a wicked way. It was still immoral. But in this, you pay for it. And the troops get the deadly injections. They get their pension funds stolen. They get treated like garbage. They breathe DU. And then they don't even get the booty. I mean, this is ridiculous. There is no reason for 99.9. I mean, even if you're evil and cynical and worldly out there, there is no reason to join this system. There is no reason to do it. Even if you are into evil and into sadistic behavior or sociopathic behavior, or even worse than that, psychopathic behavior, this isn't good for you. There is no reason. I can't tell you how many good old boys and how many successful businessmen have come up to me when I'm on vacation or I'm at the mall or I'm at a restaurant and said, Alex, I know there's a lot of dirty stuff going on, but you know, that's what's made us so successful. And you know, you got to play dirty in this dirty world. No, you do that, you get a race to the bottom. You get society falling apart. And that's the point I want to put across to people. Sure, corruption works for a while, but at a certain point, everything stops working and falls in on itself. And the globalists have even wargamed all this out and call it a post-industrial world, Aaron. So please, now you have the floor here because I'm popping in on my own show, and give us your take on it. And then I want to make an announcement about several other issues.
Yeah, so there's multiple fronts, of course. In Europe, as you know, Germany, Merkel, and the others have announced that this new emergency bailout vehicle right now scheduled for Greece, the other countries later, they don't even want to put a number on the amount that this fund will have, because that would be seen as a weakness. They want to have an unlimited amount of bailout money, Alex, and it's like the old fable from Gulliver's Travels, where the Lilliputians take down the giant man by putting hundreds of ropes under him. One of them he could break easily, but the hundreds of ropes they can't. So they have the European Council, they have the new bailout vehicles, they have the IMF vehicles, all the rest of it. They have the U.S. post-World War II vehicles over all the reconstruction vehicles. Those are the things that are ruling Europe and continuing to erode the sovereignty, if indeed there's any left. Now, going back to the Middle East, I want to draw a comparison between what happened under the Cold War, the banker-created and banker-run Soviets, and the banker-ruled U.S. Never went to war, of course, but in the Third World, they did. And under the fog of war of the left dictators and the right dictators, all puppet dictators, what they were really doing was installing those IMF vehicles, the jackals, as John Perkins calls them, the economic hitman, the different CIA factions, and putting in those central banks. And as you know, the end of the game is the countries in the Middle East who we've been to war with, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Syria. I may have missed one of the countries, but those are the countries that have yet to implement a Rothschild-backed or globalist-backed central bank, Alex. Isn't that a major component of why we now see the Middle East sort of in flames and in that tinderbox situation?
Well, that's right. Anthony Sutton, that wrote reports for Congress and was allowed into a lot of these documents, wrote tome after tome about why did Wall Street finance Hitler and then destroy him? Why did Wall Street, it was proven, I mean, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Arm & Hammer, that's where Al Gore got his money through his dad. Albert Gore Sr. was his minion. They would literally finance both sides. Well, that goes back 300, 400 years ago with the big banking cartels of that day financing both sides. It's really very elementary. Wars will destroy the people that are going into debt to you. And when it's all over, you've got all the wealth that was transferred in the war. And then the bankers will switch sides at the end and back one side. But at first, they back both sides, or all three sides in some of these wars. And then they have a predetermined outcome they're going after. And then they can basically double-cross the group they want to at the end. And they can use the wars as an excuse to set up more world government bodies. I mean, they admit they engineered World War One. The Brits did, the Milner Group, Lord Milner, to get a League of Nations. Then they come out with the United Nations at the end of World War II. The banks on record engineer financial collapse in the years leading up to 1913. They say, give us a Federal Reserve. It'll never allow another financial collapse. Then they engineer the Great Depression. This is how they operate. And they're so arrogant, we know all of this, because they've written hundreds of books. Men in Power is a political retrospective. Former German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt, read it. It's out there on our bookshelf in the office. Anybody can buy it. It's a rare book, but it's available. He admits the whole world government takeover plan. Superclass, written by Rothkopf 5 years ago, head of the Kissinger Group, admits it all, but says it's great. Of course, Tragedy and Hope, 900-plus pages. Only 1,000 printed for State Department and CIA officials, but the plates got out, and it was printed by alternative folks, and they didn't want to sue them because they knew it would bring more attention on it. They actually write 900-page books to give CIA section chiefs so they can understand how they're doing it. And he says, we fund fascists, we fund communists. It's a big banking oligarchy. It's a system that will destroy the family, will destroy everything, and create a corporate system. In the 1973-74 movie Network, they call Howard Beale, kind of the Glenn Beck type in, and explain to him, we're ending everything. We're ending families. We're ending all human activity. You will be a minion of the new corporate board. And they explain world government there. This is their plan. This is their program. They use economics as a weapon to get you broken down, destroy your sovereignty, then destroy your independence, destroy your family, to kill you, though. They're just soft killing us now. you know, Pol Pot would kill anybody who was educated. This is a central point. I hope folks listen to me carefully. Pol Pot would, under U.S. funding, would kill anyone who could read or write. Or if you had glasses, it meant that you were lower middle class and could probably read or write. And it was the Ford Foundation and others that went over there on record and advised him as a, quote, bulwark against communism. And they and the system said, well, they've taught the communists, which, again, they were funding through Russia and other areas. But in this particular proxy war, they were in their geopolitical strategic system. They didn't want that. This is all, again, admitted by Brzezinski and others. They went in and they said, anybody who can read and write, anybody, we don't care, conservative, liberal, communist, kill them. So they killed a little over 30%. Conservatively, right at 30. Most historians agree, 30%. 30% of the country gone. And the modern globalist method, and of course you've read countless Nobel Prize winners' quotes about this and how they're planning it, diet, injections, and injunctions will make us servile, basically mentally retarded servants. So they don't outright kill us. They just turn us into biological androids who are addled. The men are effeminate. The women are hyper-feminine and, of course, die of the breast cancer from the bisphenol A and other things that was chosen to be put in all the major plastics that we eat and drink out of. And then they admit they did that. The other things they added to the food, all the GMO designed to sterilize on record every time they do a test. They don't physically kill us. They just kill our will. They kill our brain cells. They stunt us. And those of us that would have been great intellectuals and incredible minds now are just able to understand it. You understand? And then those that would have been like we are that can understand it, they are low-grade morons. So a low-grade moron under this system is full-bore mentally retarded. Someone who would have just been average thought process is a low-grade moron. Someone who would have been quite bright is just average. Someone whose genius level, you know, exploding with fires of understanding and connections and information is just extremely smart now. And this is the chemical biological warfare program. So instead of just lining us up and shooting us, because
back in the third hour of this Friday, September 30th edition, Alex still on the line with me. I'm not sure if he has plans to take off or stay into the next hour, but we do have Bob Chapman joining us, as he does every Friday, and we're going to talk about the IMF race to the bottom. We're going to talk about the albatross of debt around Europe's neck, a little gift from the bankers, and what they're doing to this country. Headlines like Obama, America's gone soft, saying we don't have the same competitive edge we used to. While they crack down on American companies like Gibson, not allowing them to import technically unfinished wood from countries like India, telling them to move overseas. Now, Alex, I know tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, we have a big fluoride special, and you've done work on that piece, too. We're going to air all kinds of different things, talking about how they now admit in government reports, material safety data sheets, that fluoride is harmful for children and other living creatures. Of course, we're going to cover the terrorism, too.
Aaron, yeah. And we're finally going to air that hidden footage inside the Austin water treatment plant. They don't want you to see, but the public has a right to see the chemical weapons, because it's not just fluoride they're putting in the water supply. That's 7 o'clock tonight. It was actually a few years ago. We got a tour along with a group, and they said, well, don't film, but we went ahead and filmed. You have a right to know exactly what's going on. But just finishing up the point I was making as we hit the break, Aaron, and then I'm going to let you go and talk to Bob Chapman and cover all that news. And also, if you guys want, hopefully take some phone calls from the listeners out there at the bottom of the next hour. One program note, this is a beta test. You know, we got an RV so that every month or two, I can start going to maybe two or three, four of our affiliates, stopping at one each day and doing the radio show from there so we can visit our affiliates and also speak in the evening at different places. But then sometimes we'll be in an area where we don't have an affiliate, but we're speaking, and so we'll do the show via Skype also with you there riding shotgun with us, or Paul Watson or Kurt Nimmo or others, the great team that we're building there. And I just wanted to, in closing, point out to our audience, we are facing incredible adversity. But knowing, as G.I. Joe says, is half the battle. If we face the facts and face the globalist own admissions, it's so outrageous what they've done, we can come together and beat these people. And so many of you that serve the system who've been compartmentalized, or those of you that have sat on the side of the bench, get in the game. Our future, our society needs a future. And the globalists wouldn't be doing all of this if they didn't know that we had power. And they cannot operate in the light. They can only operate in the dark. And I'm in the same studio every day, year after year. It's fun. I'm excited. But being on the road is so much more exciting. And I feel like I'm doing old radio here. I don't feel like I'm under all the spotlights in there like you are right now. And so at least a month, at least a week or so out of every month or two, we're going to be on the road, and we're going to have an email where people can email us and suggest where they want us to speak or where they want us to visit. And I'm going to be rumbling around the country in the RV and sometimes, you know, doing the show from the side of the road, you name it. It's very, very exciting. And then sometimes I'm going to be sending the crew and our reporters like Aaron Dykes, Darren McBreen, Kurt Nemo, Rob Dew, countless others, people like Rob Jacobson, all our great crew, and some other folks that are going to be joining us soon on the team that we'll be announcing in the next few weeks, out on the road as well. I told you, and I meant it, we're going to take the info war to the next level, and I'm going to close with this. We could not have done this without your support. When you get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, when you support a sponsor, when you buy a t-shirt or a DVD or a ball cap, you finance truly independent, hardcore, pro-liberty media that has given the globalists a run for their money. This is so exciting what we're all doing together, Aaron, and I salute you and the entire crew.
Thanks, Alex. Stay tuned. Third hour with Bob Chapman coming up. InfoWars Nightly News, InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back. This is the third hour of the Friday, September 30th, 2011 edition. I'm not Alex. I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in for Alex while he's on the road. As you know, he just joined us via Skype for a full hour. We are joined now by economic forecaster and longtime expert Bob Chapman. But let me hit a few headlines just to kick off the conversation. Again, we have a very special episode of the InfoWars Nightly News coming up tonight, InfoWarsNews.com. Now in the news, we have Zero Hedge, Greek Banana Republic status upgraded to AAA after sit-ins at eight ministries prevent Troika inspections. Wall Street protests growing. Michael Moore says, end capitalism, not the Fed. That's a special report from We Are Change, Luke Radowski. Mike Krieger, rebellion has arrived in America. Fox Business, gloomy economic data sparks sell-off. Obama says Europe's debt response, not effective enough. More money, please. Greek protests disrupt audit talk. Ackerman says global economy on the brink of, well, that's cut off. We'll get to that later. Credit markets heading for worst quarter since 2008 in Europe. Stocks gain on economic data and German vote. Greece courts Sarkozy after German bailout win, where they want unlimited money for their new bailout vehicle that goes over all European sovereignty. Greece working to convince EU can meet austerity demands. And meanwhile, in the U.S., dumb TV reporter says gold has no intrinsic value, but the dollar does, backed by the Federal Reserve printing press. Bob Chapman, are you there now? And please give us a breakdown on all this incredible economic news going on right now.
Well, first of all, I am here. I'm happy to be here. Great to be back on with you again. And Alec can go out and do what he wants to do. Anyway, the situation in Europe has been a catalyst recently. We all know now that the Bundestag passed the legislation for the approval for the second tranche of funds, which was set at something on the order of $500 billion. And the vote was 523 to 85, which means it carried substantially. And I think the reason that happened, I think these congressmen got together and said, look, you know, we don't want anywhere near a split vote here. What we want is a large vote, and even though 75%, and this is several polls, of the German people said, we don't want to do that. Can't blame them. But in this bill, what they would like to do is use leverage to increase the amount of money involved from about $500 billion to about $2.5 trillion. Under the German Constitution, the country of Germany can't participate unless the Constitution is changed. And that's in reference to the point you just made in some of the news that the U.S. is saying, well, spend more money. The problem with Greece is twofold. Number one, getting the money and getting the money to them. And second of all, the other side of the coin is the people don't want to make a deal. They want out. They want a default. And they know that they have to have austerity of some kind. They know they got to get their house in order. And the only way they can do that is by leaving the euro, because they can't compete. And they're not the only ones. The stronger northern European countries such as Germany, France, Holland, Finland.
Bob, we're coming up on the break. We're going to get more into that on the other side. But I just wanted to point out, too, I read quotes about how $500 trillion is not enough. $2 trillion wouldn't be enough. They want an unlimited financial bazooka for these bailouts. We'll get into that on the other side. Stay tuned. InfoWarsNews.com.
Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, folks, here we are, long segment of the third hour. Bob Chapman, as every Friday, is our guest right now, and we are talking about all things financial in Europe. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting in, again, Alex on the road, but listen to the rebroadcast. Alex was on the show today for a full hour in the second hour, and again, on InfoWarsNews.com, we have a special episode of InfoWars Nightly News coming up tonight on the fluoride scandal and the victories that patriots like the people listening to the show are starting to have. Now, Bob Chapman, you were just starting to get into everything that's going on with the latest round of bailouts now for Greece. I know other countries are sort of waiting in the wings, Bob, but I've read quotes where they said the $500 billion number isn't enough, and even if they could name a $1 or $2 trillion number, they wouldn't really like that either. They like the idea of an unlimited financial bazooka, because otherwise they might spook the markets or something. Is it the real reason? Because it'll never be enough. These debts can't be repaid, and this is just about austerity.
Well, I think you're right about that. And I talked to people within the German government a couple of years ago, and I said it's going to cost $4 trillion to take care of all six problems. And they said it'll be $1 trillion. And I came back about 6 weeks ago, and I said, I'm raising it to $4 to $6 trillion. And they said, well, we raised ours to $3.5 trillion. So they finally have recognized, at least in the government, just how serious the problem is. But, you know, even if they supply this money to these countries that are near insolvency, it's not going to solve the problem. And it's just like in America. They throw money at everything and think it's going to work. And it doesn't. And who's behind this is the U.S. Federal Reserve. And how they're going to do it, because it's going to take time to get legislation to change the German Constitution to do this. So you'll see another swap. The swap that they just made for the banks in Europe was $500 billion. And supposedly the Japanese, British, and Swiss central banks contributed as well. I get news for you. They didn't contribute anything. And so the U.S. Fed is the driving force for liquidity. And they're just going to say, well, how much do you need? Just like they did with the $16.1 trillion we found out that they secretly lent. And we're going to find out sometime in the future that they lent out $6 trillion, and that's where the money came from to be lent to these people. And what's that going to do? Well, it'll immediately monetize the money, and we'll get more and more inflation. The ECB and the plans that they have is for low inflation. They like it at 2-2.5%. It's not going to stay there. It's going to go higher, 5-7% easily. And so how long will this last? Perhaps several years. And is the euro going to become a non-currency? I think eventually, but I don't think it'll happen right away. And I think it's going to take time if the Fed gives them the money, and the Fed is going to give them the money.
Are the elite globalists still behind this plan where the euro may unfold? Because I know that was their pet project for 50 years. Is that something they forecast and planned ahead for, or is that a disaster that they're not really expecting, Bob?
I think it's a disaster, because when I wrote about it back in the formative stages when they were having the Maastricht Treaty meetings, they said that all the nations must have a public debt of less than 3% of GDP. Well, that's easy for Germany and France and other leading countries, but the rest of them, they knew darn right well they could never live up to that. It's just that the whole culture is different. And I've lived in all those countries and speak their languages, so I know that. And so the second thing that they did, which put a noose around their neck in totality, was one interest rate fits all. Well, the people in the six countries we're talking about that are in trouble, they jumped up and down and said, this is wonderful, and we can get cheap money, and we're going to build and build and build and all that kind of stuff, and get themselves deeply into debt is exactly what they did. And the sovereign nations, which were strong, they continued to buy their bonds, and the banks loaded up on them. The banks made loans that they should have never prudently made. And what happened was they did that to keep these countries afloat. And now they're in a position where they're looking at losses of over $1 trillion just in the banks.
Now, on the American front, well, actually Canadian, we had a reporter that's in the news today. Paul Joseph Watson wrote about it. We talked about this earlier, but I wanted your take. And she said, gold has no intrinsic value because it's not backed by anything, but the American dollar is because it's backed by the American government. Of course, we know that's not true at all, that the Federal Reserve is not part of the government. And, of course, the dollar's not backed by anything. But what does it mean that this kind of thing is now appearing on television, Bob?
It means that they're scared to death. They're trying to talk down gold. They just took it down $350 in 3 or 4 days. They took silver down $16. They're trying to scare everybody out, and it's not going to work. I mean, when the price came down, which is it's still relatively down, even gold, though gold's up today, they have long, long lines at coin companies waiting to buy. And then people end up fighting with each other because the coin companies run out of gold and silver, bullion, and coins. And so the public has continued to buy strongly in spite of the propaganda. Who was it that said this? Do you know this lady?
Right. Her name is Bridget Brown, and she's a reporter for CTV in Canada.
Well, that figures. I lived in Canada. Extremely socialist television up there, with the exception of BFN, and they're borderline too. But anyway, this is the kind of propaganda you're going to have to put up with. No, we've got the magic elixir. There is no place else to go. There's no place that's safe. I mean, if you look at the Great Depression, you will see that the Dow came down 90%. They doubled the price of gold, and gold and silver shares went up over 500%. Now, that's a deflationary depression. In the 77-81 period, the price of gold and silver went up very well. The stocks went crazy.
Well, it's been almost a straight spike up ever since Nixon took us off the gold standard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, you're right about that. Absolutely. And so what do? They degenerated the dollar from August the 16th, 1971, until today, maybe 96, 98%. I mean, if we go back to 1911 when the Fed started, it's probably 99.9%. And this person tells us that the Federal Reserve notes are wonderful because they're backed by the Federal Reserve. Well, have a look at their balance sheet. They're offside about $3 trillion.
Yeah, but I agree, and they're in panic mode. Maybe she's just going off Bernanke's statement saying gold isn't money, you know, only this greenback is. Well, it's not even a greenback, as you know. And then here we have the Federal Reserve becoming not only a national issue for the first time, but their statements in Congress all the time, questions about reappointing Bernanke, which obviously shouldn't happen, but they'll just bring in another puppet. And then we even have in the GOP debates, they're talking about the Federal Reserve. Now, they try to still ignore Ron Paul, who's been hammering the issue home for literally decades. But at the same time, isn't it a significant sign that the public is becoming somewhat aware of who the enemy is? We have even these leftist protests who are at least taking place on Wall Street. They may not have the right solutions, but they're beginning to look towards the right enemy in the right direction, Bob.
Well, I think you're right. And what is significant here is I have seen, and Alex and I have discussed this before, a move from the left to the center and from the right to the center. People who are fellow Americans who want to solve the problems and they're tired of this political bickering. Let's get the show on the road and let's get it done. And, you know, the people who, for the most part, are on Wall Street demonstrating, they're leftists. And that's okay. You know, everybody should be able to protest something in America without being accosted as long as they stay within the rules. And, of course, that hasn't happened, but that's not the point. The point is this. Your enemy's enemy is your friend. And we need the public to become aware of what evil, thieving people these people are. And if that's the way we got to do it because Tea Parties and others won't get off their hinds and go ahead and do it. If the leftists want to do it, I think that's terrific. I don't agree with their solutions like you don't, but that's okay. They brought it into the public eye, and I think it will generate more demonstrations in the future, not only about that subject, but others as well. So I think it's terrific.
Yeah, I just wonder if they're going to take the platform of Ron Paul and kind of pass some kind of Federal Reserve audit eyeing this banking system, but of course it wouldn't have any fuel behind it by the time it actually gets passed and put in, but it'll be a public spectacle to look like they're taking care of the issue. Is there any indication something like that might happen?
I don't think so, but I saw the stupid comment by the fellow who does those documentaries. What was his name?
Michael Moore. Yeah, we've got that story too. He said, end capitalism,
you know,
not the Fed.
This guy knows better. He's pandering. That is all he's doing, trying to middle the thing. Save the Federal Reserve, but get rid of the capitalist system. I mean, what a stupid comment. And I see that he's making piles of money and doing what he's doing and fixing up his giant estate. But be as it may, he's an opportunist, and that's obvious. I think it's good. And demonstrating is healthy. For a country. And I think it'll lead to other things.
Well, we're coming up on the break now, Bob, so please hold that thought. We're going to get into much more and the anti-American globalization things that say you can't produce things here in the country. We also want to take calls coming up in the next hour. Ring in at 800-259-9231. Bob Chapman and I will take your calls on the other side. We are back again at InfoWars.com. I'm Aaron Dyke sitting on, and economic expert Bob Chapman is still on the line with us. Bob, I want to touch upon some of the staged terrorism, the foiled FBI plots, and the client proxy war of Al-Qaeda in Libya, who've now sort of been enacted in the post-Gaddafi regime, and the missing anti-aircraft weapons. But first, I want to touch upon some of the globalization that's hurting this country. Obama just stated in an NBC interview that America's gone soft doesn't have the same competitive edge we used to that we've had over the last couple of decades. But in reality, we know they've been shipping these jobs overseas. They've undermined our industrial base for years and years and years. And now we have companies like Gibson being told they can't manufacture in the U.S. because of all these international agreements. Bob, what's happening with this race to the bottom of globalization? And why are countries like China, India, Brazil, and others rising in this new era?
I wrote The American Mercury in 1967, exactly what was going to happen, and it happened. Free trade, globalization, offshoring, and outsourcing. And so the president has to get up and make a speech, though he can kick the American worker in the teeth. They did away with all the tariffs, so we have an unbalanced playing field. Every country in the world devalues their currency to be competitive versus the dollar and others. And they are deliberately destroying the infrastructure of America, and that was their intention. And I knew that way back when. They really started to get into it during the 1980s, and in the last dozen years, it's been horrific. We lost 11.7 million jobs in 11 and a half years. We lost 450,000-odd companies that moved offshore. And I saw a report from Princeton 2 days ago, and this is really hard to believe. In the next 20 years, the projection is we'll lose 40 million more jobs. What are these people going to do in America? Is everybody going to just go to an internment camp and get fed by the government? I mean, this is where this is headed. It's a deliberate destruction of the manufacturing heartland in services now in America.
Well, with record food stamp levels, they're admittedly encouraging states to make sure people are on the payrolls for those kinds of subsidies where available. In Oregon, they just gave a $5 million federal taxpayer grant because they had so many people sign up for food stamps, Bob.
Well, yes, the encouragement is for dependency, and that's what they're getting. The public doesn't understand. And I'm sure marginal people will sign up so they can get some extra money, so to speak. And then even the people who have outlived their extended employment benefits, and in actuality, that extended benefits is increasing in number of out-of-work people. But those people who come off that and can't get a job, they get a doctor to say that they're disabled, so they put them on Social Security disability. I mean, the dependency is enormous. And then more than half the people in the country now, directly and indirectly, work for the federal government. And so we're heading to where, you know, Russia was in the late 1940s, early 1950s, in a total command economy run by a centralized government with all of the local KGB running around, only we get different words for it here, and it's a degenerative process that's being done deliberately.
It's disgusting, but it's also asinine. I mean, what does it say that Jeff Immelt, still sitting CEO of GE, is the so-called job czar? They're obviously not creating jobs here in the U.S., but shipping them overseas. It's just in your face.
Well, the major corporations, they have. That's how they got their bottom lines over the last couple of years. They've laid off as many people as they can. They don't hire at all. 70% of the jobs are coming from small companies and some medium-sized companies. And actually, there's a way that they could get the economy moving again. The banks have over $2 trillion, and that's sitting over at the Federal Reserve. If they lent that out to small and medium-sized companies with good credit, and there's a lot of them out because the ones with bad credit more or less are out of business, and they could go and create jobs and get the economy going again. But they don't seem to be Well, about a month ago, they started to move money back.
But we're on the break, Bob. I want to give out the call-in number one more time. That is 800-259-9231. More with Bob Chapman on the other side and your calls. InfoWarsNews.com, InfoWars.com. Stay tuned.
Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans and we caught the bloody British in a town in
We are back again, InfoWars.com. This is Aaron Dykes. Alex will be back later, and he's on this rebroadcast for a full hour. Still with us is Bob Chapman. Bob, I wanted to bring up a few of the many things that have happened in the last day or two. Anwar al-Awlaki pronounced dead again, and so I guess he won't be attending any more Pentagon dinners. I don't think they like that being exposed, the man supposedly behind so many of the foiled FBI plots. Meanwhile, the FBI plot to blow up the Pentagon and Capitol with model airplanes, remote-controlled. Admittedly, the FBI gave C4 plastic explosives and fake AK-47s and grenades to one Rezwan Firdaus. Then they foiled that plot, as they're so good at doing. Then in Libya, after the fact of working with Al-Qaeda in the NATO alliance to oust Gaddafi, they are now concerned about the militant activity and the possibility of extremism taking over, all while up to 20,000 anti-aircraft missiles have gone missing in Libya. Bob Chapman, what are they doing with that Middle East tinderbox, and what's happening at home with the American police state?
Well, in the Middle East, they're keeping the pot boiling. This is a diversion, a lightweight diversion. It could get heavyweight, heavyweight being a Middle East war. It'll happen sometime in the future, but, you know, I've seen people year after year make predictions and be wrong, and we just know that it's there. The thing in Libya we know is run by the CIA and MI6. They've been setting it up for a long time. And we all know the details now of what happened. And so what happened to the anti-aircraft missiles? They're probably in good safekeeping with the Central Intelligence Agency. But they have to have something to talk about. They have to divert you. They have to have your mind going someplace else.
Well, they say it's also a pretext
for these ideas.
They say it's also a pretext for boots on the ground, so they could find these weapons and make sure it's under control.
That's right, and it is all Psy War operations, and it's just to keep you off your beat. And the reason why they want to do that, people see this on television in the evening, and they say, well, what's going on over there? Are we going to have a big war? And when people are worried about this, they're in Wall Street doing what they want to do. And in fact, you know, you mentioned earlier in the program about the bazooka. Well, they take it out every time they need it. If you don't do this, Congress, well, we're going to have this terrible, terrible war. Or the economy is going to collapse, or we'll make the stock market go down. It's all extortion. I mean, that's exactly what Paulson did, and they fell for it. And nobody stood up and said, no, I don't think that's right. And they're going to continue to do it, like they're asking Europe, or probably demanding Europe, spend all this money in here, we'll give it to you, but you just say it came from someplace else. Mm. That's what they're up to.
Yeah. Let's go now to some calls, Bob. If you're just joining us, the call-in number is 800-259-9231. Let's go now to Michael in California. Are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. What I'm going to tell you is my doom. Right now I've been going as a driver, CDL. I've noticed some things. Anyone I know, Alex is listening. Several people are listening. I am former SFOD Master Sergeant. Most of mine were black. I'm seeing UN Special Forces being transported out of Montana plate vehicles, Quebec, Ontario, and Mexico. I'm seeing hydrogen fusion plasmic nuclear casings. I'm familiar with them. They were originally supposed to be used for a propulsion system to convert it into weaponry. I'm seeing emergency response martial law armored and sound weapon vehicles transported all over the place in this country. I'm seeing several familiar faces posing as construction workers to control the highways. There's no construction going on, usually about 3 to 4 people posted at these positions, primarily Indiana, central states. I'm also seeing a lot of military transport.
Talking about a military mobilization and through a sort of highway takeover. Bob, do you have a take on that?
It's been a long time coming, and when they're going to make this invisible become visible to the public, I don't know, but they're lining it up and they're training for it, and the gentleman's probably correct.
Yeah.
I know what you're looking at. I also understand demo, but I have, unfortunately, going under the impression that I was protecting the oath of our Constitution and our citizens, have done demo before. I understand false flag. Most of our missions were black. I also went under inside the NYPD Organized Crime Unit 63rd Precinct. While doing that for 3 years under, I infiltrated Petrie Media Corporation. They own Blair, Petrie, and Fox, CNN, so forth, UPN. And we actually got wind of a lot of information a long time. 47 of us resigned. When I first joined our unit, we just call it the unit, and we have a saying, those who know don't tell, we're telling, because we're seeing what's going on, and it violates everything that we understood going in and were being used to do.
Well, I agree. We need oath keepers who will speak up about what's going on in their various compartmentalized areas and refuse to go along with it. We're going to jump so we can take as many calls as possible. Next is Robert in Texas. Are you there?
Hi. Great show today, and a great appearance by Bob, as usual. We were able to get on the Dennis Miller Show and get a epic, nothing short of epic plug-in for InfoWars and Alex Jones after sneaking past the call screener. You can find it at Funkmaster 5. Just Google search Funkmaster 5. Go to our YouTube channel. The video's up now. Just if you want to see how he reacts when he gets, you know, those topics brought up on his show. And, you know, our Facebook's down right now, but you can find us through a lot of other media.
Yeah, I know you've done dozens, if not hundreds, of those kind of actions. What exactly was said on this Dennis Miller Show?
Well, you know, we mentioned Alex Jones's name a couple times. It was one of our callers. We have three of us who do these calls sometimes. And we also got in InfoWars to mention to Google search InfoWars. When you do these plugs, if you name a website, they'll cut you. If you say .com, they'll cut you and try to cut it out of the transmission. So it's always important to say to Google search it. So we've got that and Alex Jones's name mentioned on there. And his reaction was really interesting. His guy came in and looked it up real quick and said, oh, yeah, he's conspiracy, this and that. And they mentioned Dr. Corsi. But if you want to see how he reacts, you know, just look for Funkmaster 5, one word, spell it out. And we have our new website, funkmaster5.com, where we link also.
Sure, I think that's great. Not too many plugs there. Everybody needs to take that kind of action, though, whether you plug your channel or not. But I think your comment speaks for itself. Appreciate the call. Next would be Julio in Illinois. What can you tell us?
Aaron, what's going on, Bob? Honored to speak with you. Just recently purchased some Walking Liberty halves, so I'm getting myself prepared and crashing J.P. Morgan Chase at the same time. That's always important to do. You know, that first caller who talked about false flag and seeing you know, those U.N. troops and stuff, you know, I have the same feeling. I've had the feeling for months now. And, Aaron, you were at that drill in Denver. So I think they're really getting set for something big. This was just posted on Drudge Report talking about Van Jones from yesterday on Lawrence O'Donnell's show. That guy was on the show Big Love, by the way, from HBO. But Van Jones warns of a progressive October offensive against the Tea Party. And then this from Wayne Matson, reports.com, from the 23rd, a depressed president hooked on Google vanity searches, talking about Barry Satoro and how, You know, he's continuously looking up Google vanity searches. He's continuously obsessed about how the media is covering him. And people like Bill Daley, Valerie Jarrett, who is a Iran, I think, double agent or something like that, or Israel, I'm not sure. But they're saying how they're worried about Barry Satoru is going to have a public meltdown sometime soon.
Yeah, I know. And, kind of the LaRouche and Tarpley factions have always been questioning the mental stability of these puppets. But, yeah, he's about as vain as a late Caesar emperor in the Roman Empire. As far as the drill, not only was there one in Denver last week, but this week one in D.C., both of them sort of centered around the use of a sports stadium as the mass roundup relocation center. Bob, what are your take on that variety of topics there?
Well, I think you're going to see more of these practice sessions, so to speak. You know, I was on the Friday that you guys were there in Denver listening to your feedback and the information that you gleaned, at least while I was on the program. But you're going to see more of it. They want people to get used to this. And it's just like when they come out and give information that they haven't given out before, it's to bring you closer and closer to the reality of what's going to happen to you when they pull the plug, and that is when they commandeer the roads and go to the schools and remove the children. And as Alex says, once they get into the stadium, then the parents will be contacted. And the ones that are on a list, the parents, they don't go home. They are confined. Mm-hmm. And you don't get your kids back until you give us all your guns or something to that effect. And yeah, that's going to get progressive.
Yeah, in Denver, they even drilled with fake role-playing mothers doing that kind of stuff. Of course, they wouldn't comment. That part of the drill was technically secret, at least in relation to the press. Let's jump now to Mike in Denver. Are you there?
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate your brilliance and your truth. And so my question is, do you think there's any validity or chance of holding the 1913 Federal Reserve Act up against the Constitution and legally getting this changed?
Well, it doesn't look constitutional to me. Bob, you're certainly the expert on that. Tell us what you think.
Well, you're right. It's unconstitutional, but the people who control things aren't going to let you achieve getting rid of the Federal Reserve or making it a subsidiary of the U.S. Treasury Department, which it used to be before, just like the Exchange Stabilization Fund is, which most people have never heard of. I think that in the future, the only thing legally that we can do is elect Ron Paul and people like him. And it'll be a law. It'll go a great distance in helping us achieve what we want to and stopping these people from doing what they're doing. If that can't be achieved, we got a serious problem. And one of the things I'm noticing, and I'm sort of like a harvester, just like you guys are, of information, and I got a note today from one of my subscribers in Maine who watches NESN, which is a local channel in that New England area that carries the Boston Red Sox and the Boston Bruins, among other things. And they had an interview with Ron Paul, and it was very balanced and very interesting and very fair. And they discussed the possibility of Jesse Ventura running with him. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there are some places where Ron Paul can get a fair hearing. And I think we might see more of that in the future.
Well, I certainly agree we need more Ron Paul. There is no silver bullet. I think we need kind of a Spartacus reaction. I'm Ron Paul. I'm Ron Paul. People popping up everywhere, interjecting his issues or whatever your issue is. Let's jump now to Frank in Tennessee.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing?
Great. Frank, how are you? What's going on?
Well, just to comment on the first caller, I have some friends in the military that are down here in Tennessee, and they were talking to me about a whole bunch of like riot gear and a whole bunch of stuff that's done and that's new there, and they that they got in on the inventory. And also on Ron Paul, I was just wondering, could we like set up some sort of YouTube like thing to vote, like everyone voted in, and so it gets played on the national debate because they take YouTube votes. If we can do sort of like a YouTube bomb.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure that sounds like a workable idea. Bob, do you have any response to that?
I got to be honest with you, Aaron. It's out of my league.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Frank.
I know, and other people have better answers than I on certain subjects.
Let's just see what Kevin in Canada brings up. Are you there, Kevin?
This is John Calvin Jones.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, did you have a question
or
comment?
We're not going to reject you.
Yes. My question is for Bob Chapman, because I was just looking. I'm actually an American, but I live in Canada, and I was looking at some of the currency moves over the last couple of years in some different currencies, and the British pound was 250 yen per pound in, looks like, about the third quarter of 2007, and by 2009, it was down to 120. So basically, the British pound has lost 50% of its value against the Japanese yen, and I'm looking at interest rates of central banks, and I'm trying to think that maybe Bob can explain about what the fraud is. I look like to me in currency trades, it doesn't occur to me that Japan has either increased their output or Britain's lost output or energy sufficiency or energy stability is changing relative in these countries. And if it's happening with the British pound and Japanese yen like that, then, you know, it's happening with all these other currencies, too. So I know, this is Bob's field of expertise. Maybe you can talk about, you know, general macroeconomic trends plus the central banks plus the currency games going on.
All right, we got about 1 minute. Bob, your response, and then we'll be back for the last segment.
Brilliant question, number one. Number two, they're using the Japanese yen as a currency to go into other markets with. All right, this is what the bank does in New York. It borrows $1 billion worth of yen. It takes the yen, and they buy another currency with it. And then they invest the money with the other currency at a higher interest rate than what they're paying the Japanese. So the Japanese charge you 0.5% or 1%, and they go down the road and they get 3% in some other currencies, bonds, let's say. And so the net result is they make 2% net, less any damage that they incur in the change in the values of currencies. And that's where the distortions are coming from.
Yeah. Okay, maybe we'll jam in one more call. Probably get to the response on the other side. Steve in Illinois, hit us real well. You know what? We're on the break now. Just hold that thought. Take one or two more calls on the other side. Don't forget, InfoWars Nightly News tonight, InfoWarsNews.com. I'm Aaron Dykes. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned, InfoWars.com. We're back at InfoWars.com in the final segment. I'm Aaron Dykes sitting in, but don't forget to tune in to the rebroadcast. Alex Jones joins us for a full hour from his mobile station somewhere out in the heartland of America, getting around TSA. I was just at the airport a couple times in the last week, and I've seen them installing the body scanner booths there, and new kind of surveillance things up in the ceilings. And we really got to fight back against that whole paradigm. But right now, let's jump in the final few minutes to Steve in Illinois. We were cut off by the break. You're on air.
Okay. Hello. Very brief here, Eric, Bob. I think Ron Paul will be a disappointment. They will politically hog-tie him, both these outlaw parties. Number two, to go along with the Gibson affair, the fiasco, a lot of people don't realize when they offer a bailout to these other countries, in with that austere package is the proviso that they agree to privatize a goodly amount of their businesses.
I agree, Steve. The devil's in the details. Those are the conditions. Your phone's real bad. Sorry to cut you off. Bob, any response to that?
No, generally speaking, he's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Let's jam in. Jason in Ohio, you're on air.
Yeah, sorry, my phone's not too good either. I just wanted to reinforce what the other two guys said earlier about very large movement of a lot of military equipment. I'm a truck driver driving throughout the Midwest, and through the last 3 weeks, I've seen a lot of equipment being moved. And this last week, I've seen, well, at first, it was all equipment on flatbed. It was private carriers moving stuff. And this last week, it was actual military guys driving the equipment around. So it looks like whatever they're planning is coming closer to...
Yeah, so you're the third caller. You're in Ohio. We had someone in California, someone else in Tennessee. Bob, are they gearing for a clampdown? Is it economic riots? Is something else going on? Do we have any idea?
Well, I think they're going into preparation, and they're setting up their infrastructure. And they don't know when they're going to move or when they're going to have to move, but it's coming. And but I wouldn't try to jumpstart it by saying it's going to happen next week or next month. But the movement of equipment usually is put in place and usually stays there until they're ready to use it. And who knows what the time frame is?
Yeah, it's impossible to say, I'm sure. Deborah in California, our last caller, you're on air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I just was wondering if anybody had knew that the Federal Reserve was set to expire on December 21st, 2012. I haven't heard anybody mention that. Also, today I saw that they have created a silver coin, that New World Order silver coin with the pyramid and the all-seeing eye on it.
Oh, that's a nice touch, yeah. I don't know the answer to the Federal Reserve question. Maybe Bob knows.
Well, yeah, that's true. But, you know, all I do is assign a new one and shove it into the draw. So it's not significant. What is significant is getting Congress to do something about it. And Ron Paul tried that, and he got quite a way. He informed a lot of people of what was going on surrounding the Fed. As far as the coin is concerned, I don't know anything about it.
So kind of a technical rollover and renewal of those powers. I just want to remind you, it is going to be a very important fluoride special episode of InfoWars Nightly News tonight. That's at InfoWarsNews.com. Alex Jones on the rebroadcast, and he will continue to pop in while he's on the road. Then he will be back in studio at the time. We will find out. InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv. We count on your support. Stay tuned. Rebroadcast InfoWars Nightly News. Thank you.